Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action Podcast, episode 9. We are back from hiatus after a week. I know you guys were missing us. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegs Pool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So we took the hiatus because this young man went to Korea for 10 days.
Yeah, I went and visited one of the listeners over there.
Thank you.
And maybe got a couple more listeners, too, throughout the country. I was doing lots of marketing for us.
Attaboy. Let's go. So tell us a little bit about the trip. You were talking about the good nightlife and food.
Yeah, the size of that city is unlike anything I've ever seen before. There's food places and coffee shops all over the place. They do like their sports. I made it to a KBO playoff baseball game.
Awesome.
The Nexon Heroes were hosting the Kia Tigers. And they have cheering sections and cheerleaders all over the place. And one thing that I found fascinating was each player that goes up to bat has their own special theme song that the fan club has created for that player, includes their names, and it's all kinds of chants and very interesting.
Sweet little walk-up music they create for each guy. That's cool.
Yeah. I also found out they have very high-scoring games. I bet on the over, and I won a few bucks, too.
Nice. So what were the scores typically?
Oh, they average scores in the 10 to 15 range, as opposed to here in the States where you see totals in like the 8-9 range typically.
It's like a softball game.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you obviously had that video you circulated. You ate some live octopus.
Yeah, I had some Sangnakji at the Noryeonjin Fish Market. Nice. That was very tasty. Little suckers stuck to my mouth. So.
That is awesome. That is really cool.
It was very good. I'd definitely eat it again.
Cool, man. Well, maybe we could find a place here in the States and check that out. So,
how did things go here in Chicago? There was a couple of Shockers football games I know I missed.
Yeah. We had some. Well, actually, that's right. You missed two. The first week we did beat, they're not called Shark Attack, but the Off the Shower or whatever, the second Shark Attack team. They did not have their quarterback, which really helped us because that guy stinks. The sec backup is worse than somebody that's my co-host.
Worse than Blake Bortles?
That's tough to say. Probably not. But, yeah, we won like 20-7 or something like that week. And then last week, as I was recounting before the pod, it was an epic battle of good and evil, and this time evil won. We had a chance to accept a forfeit from the team, but then they only had six players. We just said, oh, we'll play it. We'll do it. They went down and scored on us with the six players against the eight. Man. And then they had other reinforcements show up, and they were kind of housing us. It was like 19-6. We slowly started coming back. We had a super sub named Emily who played with us, who she was incredible. She had two deep touchdown passes, and she made some juke moves, was very good. We ended up winning 38-31. It was just kind of this crazy back and forth affair, and we'll be number three seed in the playoffs next week.
Nice. That sounds like a very fun time. I'm sorry I missed it. Hopefully I'll be ready to go for the playoffs.
You'll be ready. If we win that one, we'll play Shark Attack again for a rematch in the week after. So.
How about any dating blog updates or other side action that we need to know about?
There's always dating blogs every Friday. This last one had to do with basically sugar babies and and crazies and
People
like that. So what was the other? Oh, catfish. That's right. So it was kind of a Wizard of Oz theme, catfish and sugar babies and crazies. Oh my. So it was just talking about my experiences on, especially Tinder has a lot of that crap on there. And fortunately I've run into quite a bit of that, not just the sugar babies, but the people just trying to pose as other people and God knows what they're doing, trying to get you to verify your information with credit cards. And so, yeah, it's just kind of a cautionary tale out there in the online world.
That's good words of wisdom.
It is.
Tinder can be a crazy place.
It can be. So yeah, I've actually been doing really good with Hinge. We talked about that before, and I've had a few dates and had a good time. It's been great. So.
Good.
And then, so we've got Duffel Bag Boy. We were following him, and he had a huge weekend. He won like 500 grand on a parlay, and I heard he's up $2 million over the last 3 weeks.
Wow, that's incredible. I wonder if he's still betting on Rutgers.
Yeah, I think he ended up, yeah, actually he might have in that one. I think he bet, well, this week Rutgers actually covered, right?
Yep, they were actually winning a game I saw on Twitter.
What do you know? He does love Buffalo, the Buffalo Bulls, and there's a Bison or Bulls, whatever, Buffalo. They're a really good team, and, you know, I actually didn't make that bet, but he's been on them all year, and he's won a lot of money with them.
Yeah, they're a solid squad in the MAC, definitely.
Absolutely. Let's review the pod. I guess that would be a good idea. We actually have a legislative update this week. That's exciting. As well as we'll review our head-to-head and, you know, a little preview. Action is coming back big time. We'll talk about the NFL takeaways and college football recap and then our picks for college football. And then we'll talk about some updated NCAA odds and futures for the championship since we're a little over halfway in the season. We'll look at the NFL look-ahead. And then we'll make our picks, both for Survivor, and then we'll do our head-to-head picks. And then we'll talk just a little bit about MLB and touch on the NBA and what's happening over there. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Do you want to fill us in on this legislative update that you picked out for the week?
Yeah, so we have our sixth state where sports gambling is legal. In New Mexico, they've legalized it. At the Santa Ana Pueblo tribe has launched sports betting at one of their casinos known as the Santa Ana Star Casino. So they're doing sports gambling of all types, which is awesome. And that happened last Tuesday, a week ago, and that's October 16th. So if you're New Mexico, you got to check that out. That's our sixth state, and we know that there's going to be more to follow.
Yeah, not too far of a drive from Las Vegas, although I can't imagine that many Las Vegas people will be driving down there. Although you could pick off some good lines at the Santa Ana Star Casino, perhaps.
I'm sure they do, yeah, because it's their own sports book. So, you know, there could be some arbitrage between those lines. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. So we'll see as it goes on. I know that here locally in Illinois, their governor's race is kind of heating up, and both candidates have been looking to opine on the topic. So I'm kind of waiting to hear about that when they do a debate or something like that.
Yeah, Lord knows we could certainly use the revenue here in Illinois.
There's no doubt. We definitely need revenue. So, all right, well, let's recap the head-to-head from 2 weeks ago. And let's just say Steve went 3-1. He kicked my butt. I've been taking it in the face lately. But the first game, actually, I started off on the Thursday night special. I actually got that pick right. The Eagles were 3-point favorites at the Giants, and total was 44. The Eagles basically dominated the Giants in that game. The Giants aren't very good.
No, I landed in Seoul to see that final score and was rather disgusted. So the well, Giants do stink.
Yeah, you were disgusted, but that was my sole win of the weekend. So the rest of the weekend was all you. A couple of big games that we talked about. They were versus Oregon. Washington was 3.5-point favorites at Oregon, and the total was 58. Oregon, man, that was actually another great game. If you didn't see it, Washington was up. And they were covering. They were up by 4 points. And then Oregon scored late to win the game 30-27 to cover for you.
Yeah, that was a big win for the Oregon Ducks and could alter things in the Pac-12 a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. The Pac-12 has been a little bit volatile, actually, at the top. But there's going to be another big game this week that we'll talk about a little bit. The other big game in college football was Georgia. Georgia, 7.5-point favorites at LSU. I went against my darlings, and this is what happened. They won, and they not only won, they won 36-16, and it probably wasn't even that close, Steve.
Yeah, the LSU defense has really been showing up lately, and despite Joe Burrow's inaccuracies and troubles, they continue to win football games.
Yeah, that team's defense and at
Ogeron,
there you go. He is a good coach. He's got his team up, and they are playing. I would venture to guess, if you looked at their strength of schedule, it's got to be near the top. I mean, they're playing tough teams every week. They actually play Alabama in 2 weeks, so that'll be the big
yeah,
big
look show. Ahead line for that one is showing Alabama as minus 14 favorites on the road in Baton Rouge.
That's amazing.
I found that to be very interesting.
We'll see how that goes. I mean, we'll see if that line moves, but that's exciting. But, yeah, you took that one too. And then the Bears. Oh, man, I don't know if you got to see this game, Steve, but the Bears were at the Dolphins. They were laying 3 points. They had that game in hand about 4 different times. And they kept giving it back. And guess what? It wasn't even Ryan Tannehill who started. Mm-hmm. It was Brock Osweiler. Osweiler didn't complete a pass over 10 yards, but he somehow had like 400 yards passing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe to see the line movement in that game as it was late in the morning. And then I read that Tannehill was out, and that explained it. And I think the Bears kicked off as 6-point favorites in the end.
They did.
It was the closing line there, and the Dolphins somehow miraculously won that one. Yeah, I'll take it, though.
And it was OT. It was a wild game. They won 31-28, but in reality, the Bears' defense, which has been very good before that game, it was wilting in that heat. It was like 105 heat index. They were just running down their throats. Frank Gore had over 100 yards. Albert Wilson had two huge plays. And they were going in for the touchdown on their first possession in overtime, but they stripped Kenyon Drake at the one.
Wow.
And so then the Bears had another gift where they could go down and win. And inexplicably, Nagy got a little bit conservative and went for a field goal, missed it. And then that set up the win for Miami to basically get a first down and then kick a field goal to win the game. So anyway, I won't lament about the Bears anymore.
So let's some takeaways from week 7 here?
Yeah, let's look at that. Yeah, Kansas City still red hot, aren't they, Action?
Yeah, they looked good on Sunday night, romping over the Bengals. And the one takeaway I had from that one is that I think Cincinnati might just be a little bit overrated.
Yeah, they got some early wins in the season. They had a big comeback at Atlanta. They've beaten some teams maybe they shouldn't have. And now they're crashing back to earth. They've lost 3 straight, maybe.
Yeah, and I know a lot of bettors lamented about the bad beat on the over as the total was 57. And late in the game, Kansas City was coming down with the ball inside the 10. Could have kicked a field goal to go over 57, but instead they went for the touchdown and failed. And the game stayed under 45-10.
So Andy Reid doesn't care about the over.
No, he doesn't care at all. Although I know that Al Michaels had a little bit of a problem with that on the broadcast.
He always talks about that. But you also list here that Kansas City is now 7-0 against the spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, technically the game against Denver, I think that if you could have got the number a little bit earlier in the week, but the closing line they would have covered and make it 7-0.
Yeah, they've been good. Okay, and then, yeah, we're going to beat up on my Jags. The Jags are not looking like they're not helping, America's underdog over here. Blake Bortles looks horrible. They, in fact, replaced him with Cody Kessler because he was so bad. And they were going into that game. I actually bet against them this week. They were 5-point favorites at home, and they got beat bad 20-7 against Houston. Now, Houston has bounced back, too. They've kind of done it with smoke and mirrors, but they're leading the division now.
Yeah, 4 games in a row for Houston, and Jacksonville just looks in serious turmoil. I've been hearing reports this week that they're inside the locker room, the players are calling for Bortles to be benched.
Right.
And I wonder if that played a part in the decision-making on Sunday. And now they're traveling to London on a short week playing against the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. It should be very interesting this week.
Yeah, both teams are reeling, so it's going to be an interesting situation. I mean, the Eagles blew a 17-point lead themselves on Sunday. But, it seems like Blake Bortles plays really well in London, so maybe they'll give him one more shot.
Yeah, Jacksonville definitely has the experience in playing in London every year. So you would think they have the upper hand here, and they're opening as underdogs. But again, whether they go with Bortles or Kessler, either way, none of those quarterbacks really excite you. And they don't have a running game either.
Right.
Carlos Hyde has now been traded to the Jags, so we'll see if he gets some action this weekend.
We were talking a little bit before the pod. One of the explanations for this, besides Fournette's injury and not being able to run the ball, is their turnover differential is so bad. It's like minus 11 or something, whereas a year ago it was like plus 10, plus 11. So through 7 games, they just keep turning the ball over. That's Bortles mostly, and that you can't win football games that way. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be interesting. And then, the Bears, again, they had it wasn't really a bad beat. They probably shouldn't have won the game, but they definitely didn't look good on special teams against the Patriots.
Yeah, Chicago was actually the sharp side on Sunday.
They were.
Catching that field goal before Gronkowski's injury announcement. And New England really kind of squeaked one out there. It's hard to say that, but the 2 special teams touchdowns were huge in that game.
They were.
And that helped propel them to victory.
Yeah, and in the end, it was kind of one of those situations. Trubisky didn't play that great, at least throwing the ball. He ran for 80-plus yards. But he had that Hail Mary at the end, and they caught the ball at the 2. And it was Kevin Whiteside. He caught the ball, and he tried to dive in and just got stuffed at the 1 and pushed back. And that would have probably forced overtime and maybe allowed them to cover, but it wasn't so. Last thing I wanted to talk about was the Ravens Saints, which I got to admit, I did win another bet here. The Saints over-under, I got it at 50, but it went down to like 49, 49.5. And so that game was crazy. It was only like, I think it was like 3-0 or something in the second quarter at one time. Entering the fourth quarter, the Saints were down by 10 and they just roared back. Mm-hmm. And all this scoring was going, and I was sitting there kind of white-knuckling it a little bit. And it came down to basically the Saints took the lead by a touchdown. The Ravens went down. Joe Flacco just moved them right down the field. They score. They're apparently going to kick the extra point to go into overtime and apparently look like it's going to push the over. And, man, Justin Tucker missed his first extra point of his career. He had made 222 in a row, and he missed it.
Wow, yeah, one of the most accurate kicker in NFL history.
For sure.
I certainly had my jaw drop when he missed that.
Yeah, it was just, and he was, his eyes, there's all these memes out there or whatever, these eyes were so huge when he missed that, so.
I was lamenting a little, though, because I had Baltimore -2.5, so that one kind of crushed me.
I gotcha.
We'll move on.
It was a rough day. All right, well, let's move ahead to college, and a lot of stuff happened, and I can see you put yours at the top. Your Boilers, boil it up, man.
How about those Boilermakers? Boiler up, baby.
They destroyed Ohio State. That game wasn't close.
Total beatdown. I mean, in some cases, you can say upsets from 2-touchdown underdogs might be a little lucky. Ball bounced one way, or they got a lucky touchdown here or there. But when you look at the box score here, Purdue just absolutely destroyed them. Mm-hmm. 7.5 yards per play and 6.5 yards per rush against that Ohio State defense. It's clear to me that Ohio State defense is not looking good, and Saturday's game was just icing on the cake.
Yeah, it's true, and you wonder, I don't know if you followed the story, the Nick Bosa stuff, mm-hmm. right? He didn't end up, I guess he's not on the team anymore, or he's going to go to the draft or whatever. You wonder if that distraction kind of clouded things, and Purdue has been a pretty good team. You talked about them early in the season. They were the best 0-3 team you knew because they just metrically were looking good. They've definitely bounced back in recent weeks, and man, Ohio State, they can still make the playoff if they run the table, but they're going to have to shore up that defense.
Yeah, I wonder, too, if the Urban Meyer suspension earlier in the year maybe has an effect on this team. Mm. You know, Ohio State seems to be good for one of these inexplicable losses every year. Last year it was at Iowa, mm-hmm. and this year it's at Purdue.
Yeah, that's a good point. Another big game in college this last week was Washington State. Washington State, the Cougs. We've got a lot of Coug fans. Hopefully they listen to the podcast and the Stanfords. And so basically they held off to beat Oregon at home. But it was, you know, it was one of these games where, I don't know if you got to see abroad again, but the College Game Day was out there. And
yeah.
They were there at like, I don't know what time was local time. It's like 5 a.m. or something. And there were thousands of people out there. So they just rallied and, you know, put all their hearts into that game. And they really played really well against Oregon. They won, you know, 34-20. They've got a good chance at actually winning the Pac-12.
Yeah, Washington State's looking pretty good, and they've got a huge game on deck this weekend at Stanford.
Yeah, one of the things I noted, too, is Washington State is now 7-0 against the spread this year. So we'll see. That'll be an interesting game, you know, this week at Stanford. Another big game, Michigan. Michigan went to Michigan State. They had kind of had a little, almost like a skirmish beforehand.
Uh-huh.
The Michigan State guys locked arms or something and walked across the field. It was all this, you know, show of force and everything. Well, guess what? The khakis came through and they beat down those Sparties.
Yeah, show of force didn't really do much on the field as Michigan held the Spartans in check for a game total of 94 yards.
Wow, that is incredible.
1.8 yards per play and a 22% offensive success rate. It really probably could have been a 4 or 5 touchdown game in the end.
Yeah, I think that Michigan's defense is legit. So we'll just see what that means as they go forward. Will they have a snafu? You know, they've got to go and they got to play Ohio State, obviously. If they run the table, they should be in the Final Four, too.
Yeah, I think Michigan really is in the driver's seat. If they can run the Big Ten table here, they should be that fourth team that enters the playoff.
Definitely. And that loss, again, to Notre Dame's undefeated. It's looking like a, you know, what's the big deal? They had one loss to an undefeated team. So, all right, Clemson. Yeah, Clemson had a showdown in the ACC. Well, we thought it was a showdown against NC State, the Wolfpack. I actually had identified this game as a potential where I could bet on it. But as that line started moving way, way up, mm-hmm. I just had to stay away. I think the line was 16.5 when I first looked at it, and I think it kept floating up and up. And, boy, Clemson destroyed them 41-7.
I was really looking forward to this game as I thought it would be a little bit of a closer battle. But Clemson Tigers really took it to them. They had a 48-26% success rate advantage over NC State, mm-hmm. and they had 5.9 yards per play. Trevor Lawrence looked good in this one, going 26 of 39 for over 300 yards through the air. And Etienne really didn't really have to do much in this game, although he scored a couple of touchdowns. He didn't really manage much on the ground.
Yeah, they just kind of took it to him, and we'll see. NC State, I mean, they can still make a bowl, but there's no way they can come back from that one. And then LSU, this was a game I did bet on. I can't bet against LSU anymore. They were at home again. They were against Mississippi State in the S&P Plus. That was, on paper, looked like a pretty close matchup. Mississippi State was getting points, but, man, that quarterback for Mississippi State stinks, and he's worse than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Fitzgerald did not look good on Saturday night. And really, the LSU defense looks dominant.
They do.
And I'm really excited to see them play against Alabama. So are you telling me that you're on LSU plus 14?
I might be. I don't know. I'm going to see where that line settles out. I'm hoping I can get a few more points as people bet up the Crimson Tide. But yeah, man, I mean, that team is legit on defense. I would love to see, you know, them in Michigan. It would probably be like a 3-0 game or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it next week, but I'm really interested to see where the first half line opens up. Mm-hmm. Alabama has been 7-0 to the first half this year, and 2-touchdown game. It may be like 10 or 11 in the first half, which would be very interesting.
Wow. So. Yeah, I heard a stat, you know, VSIN again. I listen to them all the time now. Yeah, Alabama 7-0 for the first half spread, basically, but they're opposite. They're 1-6 in the second half spread.
Yeah.
So that bet, if you do it that way, you'd be 15-1 this year. Wow. Where you bet them in the first half and bet against them in the second half. So just keep an eye on that going forward. And when we look at the S&P Plus, there have been a lot of movement. Obviously, Purdue jumped up 13 spots to number 26. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Florida State is up 16 spots. I mean, that's sort of notable, from 73 to 57. And Missouri, they're up 12 spots. They're actually playing some decent football. They're up in the top 25 now. USC vaulted down 18 spots to number 48. And, of course, NC State, with that big beatdown, they're down 15 spots to number 34. One of our darlings is, I know they're definitely your darling, Utah State, is down 10 spots from 20 to 30 after that narrow victory against Wyoming. Now, that is the first time that they haven't won against the spread all year. And they also were to the over. They've been to the over in every single game besides this one. That Wyoming defense is actually pretty good. I think that's kind of the result there. Are there any other? Oh, yeah, I had another one. Fresno State is number 9. In the S&P Plus, so that's exciting. You know, that's one of the teams we've definitely talked about early in the season, and they're actually having a really good year.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting battle to see who comes out of that group of five group between Utah State, Fresno, UCF is going to be up there at the end of the year as well. And Appalachian State's looking good too.
Yeah, they're actually in the top 25 in the AP poll, so at least they're getting some recognition. What spots are you eyeing this week, action, for week 9 in college?
Well, I've run some analysis and picked out a couple of games, as I know you have. And the first one I was looking at is Kentucky Wildcats on the road to Missouri. They have the far superior defense, and they're in the top 5 in the S&P Plus, holding opponents to 4.4 yards per play. And according to the S&P Plus, these two teams are nearly equal. And when you add in the home field, it may be closer to a field goal. But Kentucky getting 7 on the road, I'll be taking the 7 points.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely came to the same conclusion. I was a little disappointed. I bet on Kentucky this past week. They did beat Vanderbilt, you know, 14-7, but they were like 11-point favorites. So I'm definitely happy they're getting points this week. And that defense is great. But we'll see. I mean, Missouri can put up – they can put up points. It's almost like a kind of a conflict of styles there.
Yeah, Kentucky's definitely going to have to score in this game, and their offense behind Benny Snell should be able to find the end zone, hopefully, to keep this within the number.
Exactly. You got another spot, a little lesser-known spot.
Yeah, that's the Sun Belt. Kind of an obscure game, but I'll be taking Louisiana Lafayette plus the field goal at home to Arkansas State.
All right.
The item I picked out of this one is the explosiveness offense for Lafayette. They're ranked 10th in explosiveness, and if you dig into the numbers, that Arkansas State defense is 120th defending explosiveness. So it's got a super high total, 70 points. I'm looking at this as a coin flip game, and I think that ULL can throw up some big touchdowns here and hopefully win and cover the 3 easily.
That's awesome. I like that. I mean, Ashton will give you picks all over America.
The next one I've got is Duke -2.5 on the road to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. This one should be closer to 10 points on a neutral field.
Okay.
And Duke has a very top-rated defense facing up against Pittsburgh's low-ranked offense. So I think Duke can win this game easily on the road. And it's a bounce-back spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, they bounced back. They lost at Virginia. They didn't look that great. Pittsburgh sometimes can play well, but I agree, it's probably one of those situations where they got to bounce back, and Duke getting, it's a small number that they have to cover there.
Mm-hmm. And the next one, well, we have Michigan State and Purdue, but I think we'll be talking about that later. So
yeah, the head-to-head.
Gloss
right
over that. The next one I have here is Northern Illinois, +7.5 at BYU.
All right.
Northern Illinois is a solid squad, mm-hmm. and I was just looking at the bet splits here. 63% of the bets have been on Northern Illinois, but almost 90% of the wager dollars on the road underdogs here. Mm. NIU has a superior defense, and that's my theme this week. And I think this should be closer to a field goal, ultimately.
So when you say the 63%, so that's actually 63% of actual bets, so that's probably public money,
mm-hmm.
whereas 86% the sharp money, being somebody with big pockets, is going on the underdog.
Yeah, so the idea is they're a smaller amount of bets, but then much more of the dollars, so mm-hmm. that tells you that the bigger bets are on Northern Illinois, at least at this point in the week.
And you like to follow those other experts and win some money.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, one of the ones I identified is Texas at Oklahoma State. Basically, Oklahoma State is actually getting points at home, 3.5. The Longhorns are actually, I think they're 7 in the AP poll. When you look at the S&P Plus, that's not matching up with reality. Texas is a good team, and they've obviously beat Oklahoma, but they're 38 in the S&P Plus. So when you look at Oklahoma State, they're 22, and they're at home. They're getting these points. It just doesn't add up. So we're both on the same side here. I think we both would take mm-hmm. Oklahoma State and the points in this one. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. Tom Herman historically has overachieved as an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
But in the favorite role, he has not done as well. And when you're looking at Texas going on the road, laying over a field goal, that's a tough spot for them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Plus, they could basically overlook Oklahoma State in this case. The other spot that we're going to talk about is Iowa. Iowa's been a very good team this year. They're actually contending in the Big Ten West, but they're getting 6.5 points at Penn State. So, again, we're looking at the situation. The S&P Plus doesn't quite match up. Penn State is 10, which is good. Iowa's only 21. So they're only 11 spots different in the S&P Plus, but they're getting all these points. Plus, Iowa's playing for something. They have a very good shot at winning the Big Ten West. They have to win this game. Penn State has had some, they've stubbed their toe a few times. I don't know. I like Iowa in this game.
Yeah, in the West, all three of the contenders, Purdue, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and Iowa, all with one loss. So the rest of the way is going to be tight there in the West. And Iowa's the team with the better defense here.
Yeah.
They really remind me of LSU. They'll lock down their opponents and not let them get into the end zone. So
absolutely. I like that.
I like them covering this number.
A couple more games we're going to talk about. Well, Washington State, this is, the Cougs again. The Cougs now, they obviously have to work through the emotion that they won over Oregon. They were on game day and everything. They're going to Stanford, but they're getting 3.5 points on the road. I still like the Cougs in this game because they're the better team on paper. Again, they're 24 in the S&P Plus, and Stanford's 43. It could be a letdown spot, obviously, but I think the Cougs are a better team.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough spot for them, no doubt about it. But the line now sitting over a field goal, I think that's a lot of points for Stanford to cover, especially with that jump ball offense. And Washington State's quarterback, Gardner Minshew, has looked pretty good, and he can definitely keep them in this game.
Cool. Now, we will talk about the last game, Georgia versus Florida, the world's largest cocktail party, which apparently nobody wants to acknowledge for some reason. Why not? It's a great, great title. They're playing that game in Jacksonville, Georgia versus Florida. It's a huge game, and it has a lot of ramifications in the SEC East. Let's take a look at the championship odds, for college now. You've got Alabama at 2-5 odds, which makes sense. They've been mm-hmm. dominating. And then you've got Clemson at 7-2, Notre Dame at 7-2, and you still have Ohio State at 10-1 over Michigan at 12-1. And then Georgia at 12-1. Oklahoma at 30-1, LSU at 40-1, Texas at 50-1 and Central Florida at 60-1. I like you put that in there. What do you think about these right now, Action?
Well, I think it's clear that Alabama is the heavy favorite, and for good reason. They're pretty much the best team in the country, and I don't think that any other team on this list could really hang with them outside of Clemson, perhaps Michigan.
Yep.
But the thing that I found interesting was Ohio State being listed higher than Michigan,
right,
despite both teams having one loss. Ohio State's within the Big Ten. That obviously is going to come down to that last game of the season where Michigan goes on the road to Ohio State this year. And I believe the look-ahead line shows Ohio State as a 2.5-point favorite.
Okay.
And that one's going to go a long way determining who makes it to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's probably the game right there. I mean, right now, Michigan in the S&P Plus is number 4. So they're technically the fourth best team according to this metric, and I like this metric. And then Ohio State with that big loss and the problem with the defense, they dropped to 8. They've been in the top 3 most of the time. So I don't know. We'll see. It's all on the field. I think that's some good value. I got to admit that 40-1 LSU is looking pretty good. I mean, if they beat Alabama, I don't know if that knocks out Alabama out of contention, but obviously, you'd want to see if they can win that game first, but that might be some good value right now.
Yeah, with the potential for the Big Ten to beat up on each other a little bit, I think that opens up the door for one of the other SEC schools,
Okay. Whether
it's Georgia or LSU. Potentially, Oklahoma could benefit from that, too, if they end up running the table winning the Big 12.
Yeah. We'll update this as we go, and I think the BCS standings are coming out fairly soon, right? Maybe the next couple weeks? I think so. I have to check that. But, I mean, I've heard that on the radio, and then we'll see who has that really good inside track for the college playoff. Well, let's transition now to the NFL. You know, let's get back to where I'm getting crushed every week. Actually, one was 2-0 last week in the NFL, but I'm trying to scale back my beat down.
Well, I've had a couple of rough NFL weeks too, hopefully we can turn this around here.
Yeah, for sure. You've got some yards per play information again, net yards per play. The top 5 teams, the Rams, no shocker, at 1.2. The Chargers at 1.1. This is one of your teams, man. You were talking about them early in the year, and I think you're right. I mean, they've only lost 2 games, and those were to the Chiefs and to the Rams. So They've lost to the quality opponents, so I like that. Baltimore's at 0.7. They're a very good team. And then Kansas City, Jacksonville, and Pittsburgh and Green Bay are all tied at 0.6. It's interesting that Jacksonville's still in there.
Yeah, I think that's mainly tied to their defense because, as we know, their offense hasn't really done much this year, but they still have one of the top-rated defenses.
Absolutely. And we talked about that. It's more the turnovers than the defense. But Baltimore, yeah, they're a good team. They're a good team in my metrics, too. The bottom 5 teams, this is, again, the usual suspects. We have Arizona at minus 1.3. I hope you didn't see that game in Korea because that was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
I did not. I did see they lost to Denver 45-10, though.
God, they were so bad. 2 pick sixes in that game. Buffalo at minus 1.2. Oakland minus 1. Tennessee minus 0.7. And Cincinnati minus 0.6. So you see Tennessee at minus 0.7, and they're still in contention in the South.
Yeah, I find it interesting that both Tennessee and Cincinnati, with pretty good records, fall into this bottom 5 of the metrics. We'll see how that pans out over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it'll work itself out because I agree that those teams probably got some wins they probably shouldn't have. In my little Wegs NFL index, my top 5 teams haven't changed that much. I still got the Rams at number 1. I've got the Bears at number 2. I know I'm not rigging this. It's still there. The Ravens at 3. The Chargers, and then kind of a surprise team at 5, the Seahawks.
Interesting.
And I think that's a lot driven by their defense and the way that they've been, you know, limiting plays with running the ball. Kansas City is the 6th team on the index. So I can't tell you it's been a surefire way to bet, but last week it was 62% accurate if you took everything in the top half. So I'm going to keep trying to do it and see if I can get some more picks.
Okay. You weren't impressed by Kansas City's comeback in New England last Sunday night?
Oh, that was incredible. Of course. That was a great game. I mean, that was one of the best games of the year for sure. But that defense still leaves something to be desired. They did play better against Cincinnati, but from a yardage standpoint, they still give up so many yards. So we'll see. Come the playoffs, we'll see what happens.
Okay. So the yards are one of the major metrics that you're using in the index?
Yeah. So the index, I use basically 6 metrics. I use yards per game, both offensively and then giving up defensively, points per game scored, points against scored, and then the differential, and then I do turnover margin.
Okay.
And so those are kind of the six categories, and you know it's kind of a weighted average, you know, of all those things, and obviously the best teams usually rise up over the course of time. All right, well, let's talk about notable injuries. You've got Albert Wilson, wide receiver of the Dolphins. He looks like he's on IR now. Kenny Stills did get banged up, and Gesicki also got hurt. So the Dolphins basically don't have any weapons, and it's not even Tannehill, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe Osweiler.
Yeah, there's a lot of cluster injuries here on the Dolphins offense, and as you mentioned, Tannehill's already been ruled out for this Thursday night's game against Houston, and they're going to be going back to Brock Osweiler. Houston favored by 7.5 points, maybe a little bit too much here, but definitely something to monitor the receiving core for the Dolphins.
Houston's defense has been playing really well, especially the last couple weeks. And granted, they played the Jaguars, but they have, you know, one of the things kind of conceptually you got to remember, this is the first time they've been able to have Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt on the field at the same time at full health. So that team's legit, and even the Honey Badgers playing pretty well. So Houston could be better down the stretch. You've got the Bucs have an injury at linebacker with Quan Alexander, who tore his ACL. That could really affect their run defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, defense is not playing very well for the Buccaneers, and it's a big blow losing Quan Alexander.
No doubt. Sony Michel also got injured against the Bears. I saw that. He was on my fantasy team on the bench, though. And he's looking like he's going to be out a little bit. So you just got to check that. They haven't signed anybody new. They had Kenyon Varner and then also James White in his place. And, of course, you know they can do anything with that offense.
Yeah. I was happy to see, though, that it looked like it was less severe than initially from the television. So
yeah, no structural damage.
Michelle may actually suit up this Sunday, I was reading as well.
Oh, okay. The one that question is Gronk going to suit up? Because he obviously didn't play, didn't even make the trip with his back. He's kind of been a little AWOL on the field this year, not even injury-wise, just haven't been putting up the numbers. Mm-hmm. You've got the Vikings. They lose Anthony Barr to a hamstring injury, and then Xavier Rhodes, the cornerback, has an ankle injury. So that doesn't bode well for that passing attack against the Saints.
Yeah, Drew Brees and the Saints are coming to town, and these two defensive injuries could be large on Sunday night.
Yeah, that should be a fun game, definitely. And then I kind of noted that are not injury related. We talked about Carlos Hyde getting traded from the Browns to Jacksonville on a Friday. Weird. But they obviously opened the door for Nick Chubb, and he had a big game. Amari Cooper was traded to the Cowboys for a first-round pick. I don't know. What do you think of that action?
I think it was a horrible decision. I can't understand what Jason Garrett and the Cowboys were thinking. Amari Cooper is probably not even the top 25 wide receivers in the league, and to give up a first-round pick for him is just inexplicable.
Yeah, well, you gotta give the Raiders some credit. I mean, they're obviously taking this rebuild seriously. They, you know, Khalil Mack, I got rid of him, got some first-round picks. Now they got another first-round pick. I mean, they're going to be able to restock next year. Another one, I've heard that Demaryius Thomas from the Broncos is also on the trading block. So, and then there was a cornerback that got traded, right, today?
Yeah, Eli Apple.
Eli Apple.
Went to the Saints.
Went to the Saints from the Giants. So I know Patrick Peterson has been squawking in Arizona. He wants to be traded. We'll see if that happens. But this is one of the most active trade deadlines I've ever heard in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think it's just the new face of the NFL. There's lots of players who are showing their power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell still hasn't showed up for the Steelers either. So he could be on the trade block.
Yeah, I think I heard today that since the trade deadline is Tuesday next week, that he's going to hold out one more week until the trade line deadline passes because he doesn't want to be traded.
Oh, interesting.
That's what they said. Well, anyway, well, let's take a look at some situational spots for the NFL this week. What are you looking at? You've got the Saints and the Vikings?
Yeah, the first one we mentioned, those Vikings defensive injuries could be large this weekend. Couple that with the Saints' revenge after the playoff loss last year with the miracle in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I think that New Orleans is going to come to play this weekend. Obviously, they're off back-to-back travel, having played in Baltimore last week. But in the NFL, not quite as big of a factor. And I think that the Saints are going to come out focused. That defense has been looking better the last few weeks, and I believe that they can come in there and beat Minnesota on Sunday night.
They're playing great football. I mean, they're 5-1. They lost, you know, early, and now they're just bouncing back, going straight forward. Breeze is playing at a great level. They're running the ball well, even though, you know, Ingram got kind of stopped up this week against Baltimore. But the way that they put up points in the fourth quarter against that defense, you got to think they're going to do it against Minnesota. Minnesota's actually played kind of some bad opponents lately. Mm-hmm. They started off really against a kind of a rough schedule, and now it's gotten softened up. I think this is a great, you know, the NFL did a great job of scheduling this time at this point, so it'll be a great game on Sunday. The next one, actually we're going to do this in our pick'em, the Indianapolis and Oakland game. Why don't you talk to us about the line movement that you saw on that one?
Yeah, this one jumped out at me right away. Oakland opened up at -1 or pick'em at most of the books across mm-hmm. the board. And when the news about Amari Cooper broke yesterday, the line was quickly bet to Indianapolis -3. That's right. And I think we've talked about this in earlier podcasts, but oftentimes big injuries or trades in this case might move a line. And a three-point move for a mediocre wide receiver seems like a lot to me. If you would look at Amari Cooper's value to the Raiders week sure. over week, I certainly don't think it's 3 points.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. There's no question. I just think that, you know, for me, the Colts aren't a great team either. But, you know, it seems to me that the Oakland is kind of a bit of a dumpster fire right now. We'll see off the bye if they kind of gel a little bit. They also lost Marshawn Lynch. He's on IR. So that might have contributed to that line movement. But, yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing happening out there in Oakland. We'll also talk about the next game I have here in Pick'em, but the Seahawks at the Lions. We'll kind of move forward on that one. And then the game I wanted to talk about for sure is Packers at Rams. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's ever been a double-digit underdog in his career. Right now, I've seen the line as, I don't think I've seen a 10 yet, but I've seen 9, 9.5 coming off the bye. What do you think about that action?
I definitely would scoop up 10 if it pops in the market, but I'm not sure it'll get there. I did see there was some 9.5s earlier this afternoon, and I agree with you. This number seems way out of line, even with the Rams playing as well as they are. Aaron Rodgers should not be getting 9 points anywhere.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I mean, you're just talking about a backdoor cover. You just got to get that last touchdown or something in there. I mean, the Rams have been a machine. This week they did. Aaron Donald actually showed up and had an amazing mm-hmm. game. But they were playing the 49ers. You know, they're not playing. Well, although the 49ers played Green Bay tough the other night. I mean, it's kind of hard. Green Bay's defense isn't looking great. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think if you're right, if it gets into double digits, there's going to be a lot of people betting on that.
Yeah, not to mention the Packers coming off of a bye. And Aaron Rodgers is certainly going to be much more healthy than he has been the last few weeks.
That's right. He got some extra time. So, all right, well, let's talk about some survivor picks. You've got New England at the top. Got to agree with that. They're playing Buffalo on Monday night. I think they're 13.5-point favorites, maybe 14.
Yeah, 14 now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so that's a clear winner.
It is a road game for the Patriots, although, and I usually like to stay away from road games, but New England's not going to lose to Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think they're still starting. Are they going to start Derek Anderson again? He mm-hmm. wasn't great against the Colts. Peterman's terrible, so they can't score that many points with that offense. The other team we've identified is Kansas City. Kansas City's playing at home this time against Denver. Denver gave them a run at home, but I agree. If they're playing an Arrowhead, it's going to be tough for them to win.
Mm-hmm.
And the last team, Houston. What do you think about that one?
I think that Houston is a clear favorite on Thursday night against Dolphins. Short week. Historically, we've seen that home teams fare very well on these short Thursday night games, and I think that the Houston Texans should easily beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's kind of a war of attrition that Miami's losing, so, and Houston's a little more healthy than that, so we'll see. I agree with that spot.
One additional game I wanted to touch on was Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing on the road at Cincinnati.
Sure.
There's been some reverse line movement here early in the week as the number opened up at Cincinnati -6, and it's been bet down to 4.5 as of this recording, despite only 37% of the bets that are on the Buccaneers. Couple that with the fact that I think the Bengals are very overrated, and I'm just going to simply fade them here, auto-fade Tampa +4.5.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty smart. Tampa actually played pretty good this week. Jameis, whether you think he's a jerk or not, he actually he played pretty well. And they ran the ball a little bit more. You got Ronald Jones going, the rookie. And if the defense plays a lick of defense, they can, you know, slow down Cincinnati, even though I do think they'll still give up some points in the air.
Yeah, and certainly Cincinnati is capable of scoring on that team. The total might be a good look as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's do the head-to-head segment. You've been taking me down 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to try to bounce back. And my strategy this week, at least in two of these picks, is to take your home teams.
Okay.
So the first pick is going to be Purdue. They're going to be at Michigan State, at Sparty. They're actually getting 2.5 points. We know that this is a letdown spot, or, you know, I guess a bounce down spot, because they'd had the big win against Ohio State. But I like your Boilermakers at Sparty this week.
Yeah, this is a classic letdown spot. I mean, you can't get much higher than the emotion that comes with the win over Ohio State. Couple that with the young man, the cancer patient.
That's right.
And I think that Purdue is going to be in a really, really tough spot on Saturday night. And I'll be playing Michigan State. I already have, unfortunately. I think that they're going to win this game, and I'll be on the Spartans.
Do you have to turn your alumni card in when you bet against your alma mater like that?
No, I don't think so. Money is money, Legs.
I got you. Admittedly, I would love to have a bigger number instead of 2.5, maybe 3.5, but I'll take the Boilers at, you know, plus the 2.5.
It's certainly trending in that direction. I'll tell you, if you wait it out, you might be able to get 3 or 3.5 later this week.
All right. The other game we wanted to bet on was the largest cocktail party, and that's Georgia. They're going to be at – it's not really at Florida. It's a kind of a neutral site game. They play in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's probably technically closer to Gainesville, but it's not that far, and it's just thousands of people there. Georgia are 6.5 point favorites there. Which side do you like on that one, Action?
Well, I think this is kind of a bounce back spot for the Bulldogs. They obviously did not play well against LSU 2 weeks ago, but they've coming off the bye week, and they've had a chance to sit and think about what they've done. And I think the superior offense here is going to show up. It's kind of a low total too, 52 points, but we're grading this one at 6.5, Georgia -6.5, and I'm going to take the Bulldogs.
All right. Well, I'll take the Gators. I mean, I think that the Gators have played very well since basically losing to Kentucky. They don't do great against top 25 opponents in the last few years, but at the same time, this is the battle for the East here, the SEC East, and I think big spotlights. I think they're going to play really well, and that's a lot of points, 6.5. Of course, I would want it to be over the key number, but I'll take it and see if they can keep it within that touchdown. All right, let's go to the NFL. One of the games I really like is Seattle at Detroit. Detroit is actually, they're 3.5 point favorites at home. They did turn to Kerryon Johnson, which was smart. They ran for, gosh, so many yards this week. He had over 150 yards rushing, but that was against a poor opponent. I think Seattle's a really good defense. They're coming off the bye. I actually like Seattle quite a bit in this game, and I will definitely bet this, especially at the 3.5. What do you say, Action?
I think you just made my handicap for me. Kerryon Johnson is the difference maker on this team. The Lions haven't had a running game in years, and he is something special for this team. It opens up the passing game for Matt Stafford. Kenny Golladay has been a threat at the wide receiver position, and I think that Detroit is really looking good and trending in the positive direction. And although I know Seattle's coming off the bye, and they do have Russell Wilson, I think that Detroit will hand them a pretty serious loss this weekend and cover that field goal.
Yeah, my mistake. It's just 3, not 3.5.
Oh, yeah, thanks. We're going to grade it at 3.
Yeah, exactly. I think I had 2.5 before I went up to 3. So, all right, and the last game is going to be, I'm going to go right to your favorites again. The Colts are going to Oakland. As we talked about that line movement, now they're 3-point favorites on the road. Colts aren't the greatest defense out there, but they played better. What do you say in this one, Action?
I'm going to be taking the Oakland Raiders.
Ooh.
I'm going to hold my nose and do it. But like we talked about, I think that this line movement is just a little bit too much, unwarranted. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper is not worth 3 points. I know you mentioned Marshawn Lynch is going to be out too.
Yep.
But even those two players combined, I don't think warrants a movement of this much. And to take the home dog and conference game, I think that Oakland Raiders +3 is the play.
Yeah, I think that that's a smart play. I was looking at this game originally when it was just one, or a pick'em or something, and I thought that was a clear Colt pick. But I do think, you know, what I'm looking at is Andrew Luck's playing really good football. I think he's got 20 touchdown passes already. The defense is a little bit improved. I'm just wondering who's going to score for Oakland. There's also talk, actually, that Derek Carr might get moved by the trade deadline. There's just a lot of uncertainty in Oakland right now. usually to me that means that teams aren't going to rally, but they might in this situation. So I'm going to go against that and take your Colts. And when they win, I will definitely remind Colts all across America that you turned on them.
Yeah, you make a really good point about Oakland, too. I think that in the news and the sports media, there's been all this turmoil about what are the Raiders doing? They're selling out. They're tanking. Well, I mean, these players are going to be reading the headlines. Yeah. Not to mention John Gruden is going to get them ready for this weekend. And I think they're going to use it as a rallying point and come out and play very well this weekend.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's transition and let's talk a little bit about the World Series, which starts tonight as we tape this. Boston is hosting tonight. They're hosting the Dodgers. That was an epic series between the Dodgers and Brewers, and I lost my bet getting the Brewers to the World Series. But Boston is a minus 155 favorite. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Boston's certainly the deserving favorite here. Their offense has been on fire lately, and the Dodgers are a plus 140 series underdog. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I know that the Boston Red Sox were heavy favorites as well. I'm probably not going to have anything on the series and likely not going to be looking at any sides either. But the totals are something that usually interests me in these playoff games. And we'll probably be looking for unders mostly. Although I know Boston has been scoring a lot of runs. But usually these games are tight. And when the starting pitchers are able to go decent amounts into the game, like when the Brewers aren't pitching, then typically you see lower scoring affairs.
Yeah, I think you're right. However, yeah, to me, Boston has been the best team all year. They had a little bit of a lull at the end of the season. There were some injuries, and now they're coming back. I mean, they beat a very good Houston team. I mean, to me, that was the World Series default. Mm-hmm. So I do think Boston's definitely the favorite. You just wonder if there's a series bet in terms of over-under of number of games. That might be something. Maybe the Dodgers, because they still haven't won a World Series since 88, maybe they'll push a couple games through instead of just getting swept or something like that.
Yeah, I'm certainly be interested in watching the series, though.
Yeah. All right, let's lastly talk about the NBA. Actually, you've noted here that there's new rule on with the shot clock. So one of the things, if you haven't watched the NBA in the first week or so of the season, these games are insanely high scoring. It's like the early 1980s or something. It's like 140 to 137 or something. And so the trend is that everybody's going the over. You've got it at 27 to 12
yeah.
in the overs. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, through Sunday, the overs have gone 27 and 12, which is thoroughly impressive. And I think there's probably a few reasons for that. You mentioned the new rule with the shot clock only resetting to 14 seconds instead of the full 24 on mm-hmm. offensive rebounds, which results in more possessions and quicker possessions too. Right. And combine that with our discussion from the last podcast about mm-hmm. our savvy listener who had the question about the freedom of movement. And it's clear that has changed these games as well. You're seeing a lot more free throws. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are averaging close to 30 free throws a night
wow.
so far. And all these things combined are leading to higher scoring games. I pointed out that last night on Monday, the Lakers and the Spurs combined for a crazy 285 points.
Whoa.
Although I will caveat all this by I know you mention all the time that mm-hmm. it teeter-totters and yeah. The balance is going to come back. So these odds makers and the sports book operators are going to get smart and they're going to start increasing those totals. I think I've already seen it have an effect. Starting tonight, you see the totals that are reaching up into the 220s and lower 230s in some of these games. So eventually there's going to be a bubble that pops and there's going to be some value on the under as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple things are happening in the league. First of all, the league is very talented. Not that it wasn't in the past, but you've got many players on teams that can hit shots. This whole pace and space concept where basically everybody on the floor can shoot a three or a deep shot has changed the game. The way that they're officiating has definitely changed. It's not that beat-up 90s basketball anymore. And that's why I think the league is at its all-time, you know, popularity height. And so they're getting eyeballs on this game. People are watching the NBA. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, smart. Somebody made some good decisions. They're trying to compete with the NFL early. I mean, I don't watch the NBA now. I don't. But I know a lot of people that do because it's so exciting in watching these games. So if you combine that with some betting and some angles, I think there's going to be a lot of action. It's a lot of handles on these games. So it's a fun time to watch it. And I agree with you that at some point Vegas is going to catch up and they're going to adjust those lines. So take advantage of it while you can.
Yeah, I think I'll add too that a lot of the teams are now using these advanced metrics mm-hmm. too, where they're looking at efficiency stats and they might be taking the more beneficial three-pointer in right. some cases as opposed to the long two, like in the case of the Warriors. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been doing that for years.
They have.
So that results in higher scoring games too.
That's great. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this edition of Side Action Podcast, Episode 9. Thank you all for following us. And I did get a couple of text messages when you were out of town, Steve. They were like, where's Side Action? Where's Side Action? I'm like, oh, we'll be back on. So we appreciate your listeners who are looking out for us. Look for our tweets. I know that, Action, you did tweet when you were abroad.
A couple of tweets, yeah. They were at odd hours, I'm sure.
But it's okay. We need those picks. So check us out on Twitter at Side Action Pod. Check each of us out. I'm at Wegspool on Twitter.
And I'm at 31S Roberts on Twitter.
And definitely like the podcast and tell your friends. And, you know, soon there'll be a coaster. We've talked about this. I'm going to put a coaster out there and kind of grow our market share here.
Yeah, half business cards, half coasters. So you can drink while you're listening to the Side Action Pod.
That's right. That's right. So.
And special next week, we're going to be looking at some Breeders' Cup action, Wegs. We've got a guy lined up, hopefully, who can give us some hot picks on that's some right. horses.
That's right. We know a guy. That's prime. We got to get him on here on the pod, see if he can help us at least give us his picks. And he won a lot of money last year at the Breeders. So
yeah,
I think he won like 5 G's or something out there.
Wow. Well, hopefully, we can keep it going for the listeners this week, absolutely. Next week.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.